Hello, this is a recording for the Bethlehem Lutheran Church Adult Sunday School. This is Dr. Stephen Peach. I'm recording a lecture on Psalm 88, the third lecture in a series on the Psalms of Lament. And we're going to begin our work on Psalm 88 today by reading the psalm. I'm reading, for your information, from the New Revised Standard Version. O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from you. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions of the dark and the deep. Your wrath lies heavy on me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape, and my eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call to you, O Lord, I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders among the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your saving help in the land of thoughtfulness, of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death, from my youth up, I suffer your terrors, for I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides they close in on me. You have caused friend and neighbour alike to shun me. My companions are in darkness. Well, of the three psalms that we're looking at in this short series of lectures on the Lament Psalms, Psalm 88 is possibly the darkest of those psalms. You'll notice straight away that unlike Psalm 13 and Psalm 22 that we've already looked at, there is no vow of praise. There is no place in this psalm where the psalmist appears to turn towards the temple, towards the altar of God in praise and thanksgiving. No, this psalm records the psalmist beginning his prayer in the depths of darkness and despair and still praying there on his knees at the end of the psalm. The deliverance, the salvation which is to come to him from his God, his loving God, is yet to appear by the end of the psalm. And so the narrative of the psalm all takes place within the psalmist's experience of despair and loneliness. First of all, the structure. You'll notice the superscription at the beginning, which I didn't read when I read the psalm, talks about the composer and the tune to which the psalm is supposed to be sung. These psalms, like all the psalms, are basically musical in their genre. They are not really made to read out like poetry. They really go to music. And so the superscription records the name of the composer and the tune to which the psalm is sung. The first complaint begins the psalm in verse 1. You have a complaint about alienation from God and a plea for God's attention. And that section, that first section, goes from verse 1 through to verse 9a. You get the report in verses 1 and 2 of the nightly prayer. The description in verses 3 and 5 of the psalmist's deadly state of being, how close they are to death, their terrible experience of that place. And in verses 8 to 9a, you get the complaint about the overwhelming effects of God's wrath. And the psalmist paints a picture there of God's overwhelming destructive effect in his life. So that's the first part. The second part deals with an appeal to God about the loss of praise to him. Now, in some ways, this part of the psalm is its own special kind of turning point. It functions, at this point in the psalm, somewhat in the same way in which the vow of praise functions in the other psalms of lament that we've looked at. And we'll talk more about that as we go along. In this appeal to God about the loss of praise to him, there's once more a report of the psalmist's constant prayers in verse 9b. And then there's the content of the prayer, God's loss of praise in verses 11 and 12. You're going to miss out, God, on this praise if you don't come to me and help me. The next part is the second complaint. The first complaint began in verse 1 and went through to verse 9. This is the second complaint, which is like the second part of the psalm that turns off that hinge in verses 9b to 12, the appeal about the loss of praise. And the second complaint deals with the psalmist's report of mourning prayer. It goes on to talk about the psalmist, or express the psalmist's protest against God's life-threatening rejection. So you can see that it follows the same basic pattern as the first complaint. And there's a complaint then in verses 16 and 17 about the overwhelming effects of God's wrath again. A complaint about God's alienation from the psalmist, of the psalmist from other people. So you have in the structure here, you have like a hinge in the middle. And on one end of the hinge, you have the first complaint. And then mirroring that, almost like a sort of a parallel a French door swinging off the other end of the hinge, you have the second complaint, which goes from verse 13 to verse 18. And in the middle, you have this very interesting section, the appeal, which we'll talk about as we go along. First of all, some general observations about the psalm. This is classified by scholars as a shortened individual complaint, typically a complaint prayed by a sick person. And so the tradition about this psalm is that it's a psalm that is prayed particularly in view of a person suffering in illness. This is intensely and authentically experiential, this psalm. This psalm describes personal suffering. It refers to the feelings and thoughts that many readers recognise in their own lives. In particular, the experience of the night time as a time when darkness falls. Not only outside over the landscape, but inside the person themselves, in one's thoughts and emotions. You might have experienced that. When you're ill, or possibly when you're depressed or anxious, or when you're struggling with a heavy burden in your life, as night closes in, it gets more intense. The darkness falls in more ways than one. It's a common experience for people who are grieving too, of course, is that they say that daytime they can cope with, they can keep busy, they can distract themselves, they can get busy with things, but night comes and it's as though the darkness closes in on their very soul. Unlike most of the other lament psalms, Psalm 88, this one, has no vow of praise, as I mentioned, where the psalmist is turning to God and thanking and praising him for his salvation. Instead, it has this interesting section, the hinge in the middle, that I mentioned before. This is sometimes what could be called, what scholars have called, apathetic praise. It's another fancy way of saying negative praise, in which the psalmist reflects on the praise he cannot and will not be able to give to God until God steps in to help and save him. And so the psalmist is, in some interesting way, still saying to God, there is time, God, there is the possibility of me praising you, and that's what I want to do, but I can't if I'm eternally lost and I'm overwhelmed by your wrath and your destruction. So this psalm is in no way typical of the other lament psalms. It has no overt hymn of praise in it anywhere. There is nothing overtly positive here for anybody who's looking for something to cheer them up on the surface level. What you have here is a confession of the psalmist's dependence, but a very real account of the psalmist's experience that God has not yet stepped in to help him. There's a sense of rhythm and repetition in the psalm. That's very important. We join the psalmist at the beginning, and verse 1, at the beginning of his nightly prayer vigil. And the speaker talks about his constant prayers in verses 1 and 2, and then verse 9, and then 13. There is a reference to what seems to be a 24-hour cycle of supplicatory prayer. In verses 1 and 13, there are references to day and night passing while the psalmist suffers alone and cries out to God. In verse 13, it seems that another night of agonized prayer has passed and morning has come round again, and the psalmist begins his morning prayers afresh. The psalm is characterized by the language and imagery of death. This is perhaps a little confronting to our 21st century ears in some ways. In verse 3, the psalmist is, he says, near to his grave. And in verses 4 to 8, we see that he has already been placed in his grave. That's the imagery that's being used. He has been set apart with the dead. Now that's a reference to the practices of ancient Israel, because, of course, a dead body, a corpse, is unclean. And according to Jewish ritual culture, a corpse has to be placed away from living people. And so the psalmist says he is like a slain war corpse, a dead body on the battlefield, placed in a dark grave and forgotten, cut off from relationships, the relationships of his life, and from their memory. Even, it feels to him, cut off from God's memory. He is in the lowest pit, he says. The picture being painted here is one in which the psalmist is experiencing a kind of living death. It's like being dead already, except one can still feel and sense the feelings of that. And so the psalmist feels as though he has already died. He's already been planted in the ground in his grave. It's just that that final silence and darkness has not yet descended upon him. So that's quite disturbing. And yet here it is in this psalm. Very honest, very raw. There's a lot of imagery here about watery chaos too. In verses 7 and then verses 16 to 17, the psalmist describes God's wrath and rejection as a raging sea. Waves, floods that surround him, sweep over him, overwhelming him, drowning him. In ancient Hebrew culture, of course, the sea is a place of chaos, a place of disorder and evil. It's associated with the demonic. There is the place where monsters live, which want to swallow up human beings and eat them. To go under in the sea is to disappear forever, to disappear into the chaos of destruction. And so this is a kind of a parallel image of death and destruction that goes along with the others that we have in the psalm. So that's just some general comments about the tone and the overall movement of the psalm and what's going on there. Let's have a closer look at the verses of the psalm now.